Let's bow in prayer. We thank you, Father, that you always offer us more. And we thank you, Lord, that for the believer, there's always a future. There's always hope. We thank you for your presence with us. And we pray, Lord, your blessing on the word of God as it goes forth. And your blessing on those that you've drawn here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is about the graduates. Those who are graduating in 2019. Now, does that mean they were born in this century? Wow. You know something? Years ago, before you were born, at the community high school, you could open in prayer at the graduation, and you could close in prayer at the graduation. I did that for years. They'd have the priest do the invocation and the minister do the benediction, that kind of thing. Can't do that anymore. Can't do that anymore. Can't pray for the people graduating in the school anymore. So we have to bring them out here to pray for them. That's a little different. Times have changed a lot. I just thought about some of these kids that are graduating that I know just a little bit, you know, from a distance. But just watching them, like Lexi, for instance. What we were going to do is I was going to have Lexi come and say a few words. And then I was going to have Austin sing. But, or Caleb sing? Too much pressure. So we passed on that. I always thought Lexi was going to go into law enforcement because she was so good at it. She had a sense for criminal activity. When she was 4, Rose was running a daycare and Missy had come to pick up the girls and Paula was there with Rose downstairs. And I was upstairs alone in the kitchen. And all of a sudden this thought hit me. The chips are in the third drawer down on the left from the sink. So I just went over there, just slid that drawer open, and there were the chips. And I just reached in and just touched the bag. And a little voice from way downstairs, in all that confusion, a little voice said, "Gary, are you the chips?" So I thought she was going to go into law enforcement because she was so good at it. She had that sense. I thought Austin was going to be an Olympic runner because my first memory of him was running from his father. His father was chasing him. I think he was heading towards the river. So I thought Austin was going to be an Olympic runner. I thought that's what he was going to go into because he was so good at it when he was 3 years old. Now, Caleb, that's another subject. But see, I have a hard time with this Caleb thing because, no offense here, but I always think Caleb McBride. Now, I know that's not the way it is. But you got to understand, when I see him play basketball and that arm and that face, I've seen that in 68, 69. So it brings back a few memories. I thought maybe he would go play for Duke or something like that. Never know. Michaela, she was just here in the Sunday school class, just a little blonde thing. Next thing you know, she's clerking at the Bald Eagle. I thought she would buy the Bald Eagle for her and make a successful business out of it. Ah, these are our graduates. These are the ones that are graduating. 49 years ago, I graduated from high school. And Paula graduated from high school. 49 years ago. It's a thing in the process of time that you don't forget. But one thing I want you to know is 49 years don't take long to go by. I mean, look what it did to me. Look what it's going to do to you, 49 years. When I graduated from high school, the gymnasium was set up with the chairs, and I was in the gym with the janitor, and the janitor was there with his chin on the broom. He was contemplating deep things, and he turned and looked at me, and he said something like, "Look stupid." It was probably worse than that, but I'm trying to make it palatable for the audience. "Look stupid, you just said goodbye to the best years of your life." I never forgot that. And I'll tell you, over the years, I've been thinking, wow, that's quite a statement. You're just saying goodbye to the best years of your life. Ho, for the first time after 49 years, it hit me. What he was saying, what he was thinking. He didn't have a degree in philosophy, but he had some life experience. I think he knew what he was talking about. But now I really understand. No payments, free food, don't have to make your bed, don't have to do your laundry. Come home whenever you want. If you didn't have the answer, maybe your friends would give it to you. Physically fit. Think of those things. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. That was a long time ago. You could even smoke and play basketball back in that day. The only reason the janitor was wrong. You see, he could have been right. The vast majority of the time, he'd have been right. But the only reason he was wrong is because of Jesus Christ. If you don't put Jesus Christ into the equation, that could very well be. There are a lot of people my age and around that age, in their heads, they still live back in those days of high school. They never get away from it. They still think that way, dress that way, let their hair grow that way, everything, smoke that way. Only it's not tobacco, it's something else. But anyway, if you don't put Jesus Christ into it, who knows what the future is going to hold? Because he's the one that knows the future. He's the one that can make a difference when it's all over with. You look back at it, you wouldn't want to say that. You probably don't know who Simon and Garfunkel are. Simon and Garfunkel didn't write very many hymns. As a matter of fact, they didn't write any, but they had a song called The Boxer. And there was a little phrase in that song that went like this: man hears what he wants to hear and he disregards the rest. And you know, that's true. We hear what we want to hear and we disregard the rest. My brother-in-law was talking to his son and he wasn't listening, so he turned around and started talking to the dog. And his son said, "Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, you're not going to listen. Maybe the dog will listen." Well, we're like that. But
there are a lot of things
we need to listen to that we don't want to listen to. But they're good. Good things. Short message to the graduates, because they were supposed to do canoeing today, but they canceled, which is too bad. Because a day like this, when you go canoeing, makes good memories. It does, really. But you won't know that because you aren't going today. You're waiting for the right day. Ecclesiastes 12:1. God allowed a man by the name of Solomon to try everything that you could possibly try in his lifetime, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God allowed a man by the name of Solomon to have enough resources, have enough wealth, time, opportunity to be able to do those things. People look at Solomon and say, as far as the world is concerned, he had it all. He had everything. Except for the most part, God wasn't in it. He was just doing his thing. And then he came to the conclusion after life passed away. Because the Bible says life is only a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. He came to this conclusion. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. No pleasure in them. He's saying, if I had this to do all over again, and we never listen to those people that have it to do all over again. We just kind of say, hey, I'm making my own way. But if we did listen to them, we'd listen to Solomon, because he said, if I had this trip to do over again, I would make God my guide from the beginning. I would make God my guide all the days of my life, before the time came when I would say, I have no pleasure in this. I want to get out of here. This is not good. Same chapter, verse 6. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. And he's talking about physical things that happen to the human body. If you visit the nursing home, or some of you work in the nursing home, you know what happens to the human body. And some things that can happen to the human body happen to people that are young. And he said, remember your Creator before that happens, before some tragedy takes place. Remember your Creator. Listen, we are not a product of time and chance. We were placed here by God. And when this thing is over with, we have to answer to God. We really do. And it's not very long before that happens. And that's part of this message. When you graduate from high school, you've achieved something. And you should be congratulated for that. You've worked. You put in the time, the effort. And it's the end of a season. And it's a big change. It's going from here to there, wherever there is. It's a big change. It's not ever going to be the same thing again. Never has there been a graduating class. You hear these speeches, and I'm making one now. Never has there been a graduating class that materially has had so much. Never has there been a graduating class that had so much information at their fingertips. Never has there been a graduating class, and I know some of them, that have so much work experience. They know about working. That's a great thing. Never has there been a graduating class with so many possibilities. I don't know how you would decide where you want to go or what you want to do, because there are so many places you can go and there are so many things that you can do, and you're capable of doing it because you already have the tools. It's quite a thing. Brand new season of life. But just from a guy that has to do this every Sunday, you're entering crazy. I mean, really, you're entering crazy. Now, I want to be fair and balanced, because Harry could hold me accountable for this. You're going to go out into a world. Now, hear me through before you walk out. The Republican Party is crazy. But to be fair and balanced, the Democratic Party is crazy. And to be quite honest with you, the Evangelical Church is crazy. If you were going to be a psychiatrist, you'd make a lot of money, because there are a lot of people that need a lot of help out there, everywhere. We live in a messed up planet, and it's been messed up ever since our forebears decided they could live without God. When they decided that they could live without God, that ideology has been passed down through the generations and impacts many in their present-day outlook on life. There are so many living in our world today who really believe they can live without God, and they're trying their best. We live in a world of individuals who are living without God. That's our world. So to go out into that and to make it worthwhile, the trip worthwhile, like the writer of the book we just read, Ecclesiastes, said, when we're young, to get through this crazy, we should remember our Creator. That our Creator has a purpose for all of this. We should remember that. What's the greatest thing that an individual can do in life? Greatest thing. The psalmist put it like this in Psalm 105, verses 4 and 5. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. Consider that. You look out here in this parking lot. There are Chevrolets, Fords, a couple good vehicles, Toyotas, other things. Do you know they didn't just happen? Somebody just didn't dig those things up somewhere, ship them over here. Do you know that somebody designed those things? Now, lift your eyes up a little bit farther and look at those trees around here. Look at that. That didn't just happen. Then just scan around, look at these faces in here. That didn't just happen. Somebody designed all this. Somebody took you, designed you, and placed you right here at this time. That's something. If somebody went through all that trouble, and he's that intelligent, I'm talking about the one who formed you into the unique individual that you are, gave you your personalized DNA, your very own fingerprint, provided for the markers and measurements that allow for face recognition, even painted the iris of your eyeball so it can be used for identification. And that designer is God. We should strive to have a personal relationship with Him. He can be a real asset to us during our lifetime on the earth. It's recruitment time. Did you guys have colleges come in to try to get you to go to their college? Did you have the Marine recruiter come in? Did you have the Army recruiter come in? The Navy recruiter come in? Did you have some trucking company come in to see if you would take the course and go truck for them? I mean, everybody's recruiting. Oftentimes, you're watching the news and an advertisement will come on and they'll be recruiting for some particular thing. Schools, they're trying to generate mechanics and plumbers and electricians. They're recruiting because there's such a need for these things. We're recruiting too. We're trying to recruit. We're trying to get young people and some old people to take Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're recruiting. When they come, they give you an offer and relate to you all the possibilities. And when we can capture you in a situation like this and force you to sit and listen for half an hour, we try to recruit. Oh, I know. There are other things that are more exciting. There are other things that seem to be more profitable financially. But when life is over, it's the only one that provides eternal benefits, dividends. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on His name. We're recruiting. We are truly. 2 Timothy 1, verses 7 through 9 puts it like this. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This life is a maze to get through. There are so many twists and turns, so many uncertainties, so many trials can happen, so many tragedies can befall you. We really need him because he's already been there. Nobody else has been there. Many times in life, you just have to start all over again. Sometimes you go forward, sometimes you go backwards. Sometimes you make a decision thinking it's going to provide such glory, and once you enter into that decision, you find out it's a bust. Sometimes. It's uncertain. One thing with him, you can always start over again. It's like when your computer's not working right, you can pick it up and bang it on the desk a few times, or you can just reboot it. Just put it into a death state, then start over again. Sometimes we have to do that. Even as Christians, we have to do that. We have to forget the past with all of its mistakes that we've made, and we have to go on from here. Philippians 3, 13 to 14 goes like this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I let go of the past and I press on towards the future with my hand in your hand. We'll do this together. So many times back there, I did it by myself and it was a mess. And I confess that. And I don't want to do that again. That'd be a great thing for you as graduates, 2019. Keep in mind, it's a jungle out there. Proverbs says, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul shall be far from them. Thorns and snares. Sometimes this happens. Hopefully it doesn't happen to you. But sometimes you look at that young fellow and you think, boy, if I marry him, life is going to be so glorious. And you marry him and he's a dud. And sometimes you look at her and say, oh, man. The light reflecting off her hair and the way she walks. It's possible to be deceived by appearances. It's possible. Do you know why it's possible? Because you go by what you feel. And our feelings are not always good. You go by your emotions. And you never look to the one who knows what's best for you, and knows the right time for that. Ah, you could save a lot of trouble if you did that. It's a jungle out there. In that book of Proverbs, in verse 7, it says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. There are people graduating from college today, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and that's a great thing. If you're making millions and millions of dollars, it's all right. But if you're hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and you're making only tens of thousands of dollars, you have a problem. You have a problem. You have a big problem. Seemed nice at the time, but it doesn't last very long. The borrower is servant to the lender. I'm glad they didn't have credit cards when we were young. Now, I'm not going so far back into time that we were relying on horses as a means of transportation, but we didn't have credit cards. I'm really glad we didn't have credit cards because I couldn't handle that. I really couldn't handle that. I'd have been using that baby all the time. I don't think it would have lasted very long. That'd be a tremendous temptation. Because if there had been credit cards, I would have quickly found out that verse, the borrower is servant to the lender, is true. Yeah. How do you dig yourself out of this financial mess? Bible has so much wisdom. You old people, you remember graduating from high school. If you did. But you remember this. You thought you were so special and that this road ahead was so bright. And you didn't see all the other things surrounding that. You didn't see that at all. You were blind to that. Like nobody else ever did that. Like you were the only one. But you weren't. It's been going on for generation after generation after generation after generation. The interesting thing is, when you look back at that, every generation has made the same mistakes as the generation before. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing when you're a historian and you look at history and you realize what little we learn from history. As a matter of fact, we learn so little from history, we try to go back and rewrite the history. That's an amazing thing. That's really something. It's a phenomenon. But we're not the first. Millions and millions and millions, billions and billions and billions have walked that same trail before you've walked. Rarely, rarely does one step out and make their own trail. You're usually doing the same thing. This old guy, I don't know how old he was. This old guy, he must have been 40. He said, I never wanted to be like my father. They said, you know, now that I'm 40, I'm just like my father. You see, he thought he was going to make his own. There would never be a life like his life. But it doesn't work that way. It's like blood types, you know what I mean? There only are so many, and you're going to have one. That's the way it is. But it's a race. Be honest. This fellow had a horse, and he was having some trouble with his horse. He had a friend that was a vet, so he went to see the vet to get some advice about the horse. So he told the vet, he said, listen, this horse I have, he's a good horse. He said, half the time. He said, he does well, he walks, he pulls, but there are times, you know, he's limping and he's having difficulty and I don't know what to do. The vet said, it's clear as the nose on your face. He said, what? He said, well, the next time he's doing well, selling. Some people say, wow, yeah, that's what I should do. That's great. Why didn't I think of that? Unless you're the one that bought him. I'm telling you something. In life, you'll meet people selling horses just like that. And you'll buy it. And you're not going to like it. Don't be dishonest. Don't be dishonest with yourself. Don't be dishonest with what you have. Be truthful. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to be truthful. I'm not saying it's easy if you were placed in that situation. What would you do? They did this study in the college in they brought these 10 high school students in. Well, 9 of them were told this. We're going to put lines on the board. And I'm going to ask, which one's the longest line? And when I point to a shorter one, all of you will raise your hand. We're going to bring in somebody that doesn't know we're doing this. He's going to be one of your peers. Once we have you all together, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to indicate that I'm pointing to the longest line. However, when I point to this short line, I want those of you in on the test to raise your hand. We want to see what the one student who is unaware of this experiment is going to do. When the experiment is tried, 9 hands go up. What do you think the person who is unaware of the trial is going to do? 75% of the time. 75% of the time. The unsuspecting individual saw all those hands go up, and he raised his hand also. Because everybody was doing it, he was going to do it also. Just a secular test. You know, it had nothing to do with spiritual things, but it had everything to do with peer pressure. If everybody's doing it, even though it looks wrong, it must be right. We all have trouble with that. Nobody wants to stick out. Nobody wants to be different. Nobody wants to be part of a minority. We'd all like to be part of a majority. But when you go through the scriptures, how many times? How many times? God's will and God's plan is being worked out by the minority and not by the majority. Really? Yep, it's a jungle out there. We've got to keep this in mind, all of us, not just the ones graduating, that we're going to answer for what we've done. You know, when you go across that stage and they give you that little paper in a binder, says you've done the work, you've completed what's necessary to go on from here. In other words, everything that happened before is contained in that piece of paper. You've answered for 13 years of schooling. When this life is over, we go back to our Creator and we answer for the time we spent here. The old saying is only one life, it will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. People struggle with that, just the name Jesus Christ. People struggle with just the name. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name, we should take that name with us. We should not be ashamed of that name. We should honor that name. And someday, we're going to see him face to face. We shouldn't forget that. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. I'll tell you, when you see a nurse doing her work, whenever you see a lawyer doing his or her work heartily, that is something to behold. That applies to every profession where the individual does his or her work from the heart. But to do it from the heart as unto the Lord, that's quite a thing. Because there are times when you don't want to do it. There are times when you want to take a shortcut. There are times when you'd like to come in late and leave early. But if you do everything as unto the Lord, it doesn't matter whether you're playing basketball or you're doing a plumbing job somewhere, it's going to be done right. Because you're doing it not for the person you're working for, you're not doing it for the paycheck, but you're doing it because you're a child of God. As a child of God, that should be the standard. Focus. Focus. I always struggled with that. I mean, in kindergarten, they wanted me to focus. I didn't want to focus. Third grade, same thing. Sixth grade, seventh grade, high school, focus. I don't want to focus. I hated focus. I hated the word itself. Focus. Pay attention. That's a good word. That wasn't a bad word. We need to focus. But focus on what? What do you want me to focus on? It was Apollo 13, and they're coming back from the moon. These guys are coming back from the moon. They're in a spacecraft, and they're having some problems. They're running out of energy. They got to shut down some of their systems. They got to fly the craft manually. They'd rather do it with a computer. It's a lot better. But they had to save some energy. So one of the fellows said, "I have to get something out there in space that I can focus on and keep this craft on course." He said, "I'm going to focus on the Earth." That was brilliant. Keep it going towards the Earth. Apollo 13 got back successfully because there was a man that stayed focused on a distant object, kept that focus until they could return to the power necessary for the computer system to take over. What are we focused on? What's the focus? I know you have to focus on completing college or you have to focus on whatever your work you're going into, but you have to have a focus that's farther out than that. Because here's what happens to us. And if you look around here, you'll see this. All of a sudden, your hair starts to change color. It might just be one or two, and you pull that out. And every time you pull out one or two, 10 or 12 take their place. Now you can do something about that for a while. And then your skin doesn't look quite the same. Gravity pulls everything. And all of a sudden, you think, well, maybe I should buy some life insurance, and you look into it, and you can't because it's too expensive because you're too old. And then the day's going to come when you come up to that pad at the nursing home and you punch in the code on the keypad, and it doesn't take it. And the CNA comes up and says, "No, you live here now." I want to tell you something. It's just like that. So when you talk about focusing, what should we focus on? It's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to die. We're not going to get out of this alive. Wow. What should we focus on? Should we focus on time or should we focus on eternity? What should we focus on? What's important? You think of that. Never in history have there been so many things that will take your time, steal your time. And you only have a limited amount of time. Not to be offensive with Facebook followers, but how can you stay up with 1,000 people? I mean, I wouldn't have 1,000 friends if I got on there. I maybe have 6. Even then, it'd be spotty. But anyway, takes your time. You can go places faster, so it gives you more time to do other things. But time. The Bible says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Because time is just going to grab you and take you. You always have to manage your time because you're only given a certain amount of time. Guys are worse than the women in this. Men sometimes think if they slept less, they'd have more time to do more things. And they found out that that doesn't work because your body needs a certain amount of time to rest. Sometimes they'll take medication that they can stay awake longer to get more things accomplished, but they find out when it's all over with in life that that was a big mistake. You cannot save time. You cannot take more time because it all comes out in the wash. And those who try to steal it from rest and sleep, they're going to pay for it down the road. That's why that book is so amazing. It's such an amazing book because it has the answers to where we are in this life and how we can get through it. And when we're through with it, have something to show for it. That diploma is a great thing. You have something to show for the last 13 years of your life. Think of that, standing in heaven, having something to show for your life. Don't forget that. That's a great thing. So here's what I did. I made a short message so you could go on the river. And I'm going to still keep it short in honor of our graduates. Doesn't that sound good? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for these that are going out into this world. And we ask your blessing upon them, Father. We pray you'd encourage them. And, oh, Father, that you would place in their heart a desire to live for you, to learn of you, to acknowledge you. That would be our prayer. That'd be our prayer for all that are gathered here today, Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.